Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Blog Talk Radio program. This is another Saturday morning and I'm excited about it. First, I want to say thanks to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the opportunity to have a conversation with mothers and daughters around the world. What an opportunity, and I thank the Lord for it. It gives me an opportunity to stretch the word that I try to share here in South Florida with mothers and daughters and through the Internet and through the Mother and Daughter magazine. So this is another vehicle that the Lord has provided to give me an opportunity to stretch around the world, to talk to mothers and daughters, and to share an honest conversation. The Mother and Daughter Bonding Network is a nonprofit organization that has grown out of it, the Mother and Daughter magazine, the Mother and Daughter Bath Apparels, even now the Mother and Daughter Radio, Blog Talk Radio program. The Blog Talk Radio program is a place where you as a mother and a daughter can come to have an honest conversation about your mother or your daughter and to share your stories. Each week we have a different topic, and the topics now are being sent and suggested to me by our listeners, and that makes my job a lot easier, well, in some ways, because you get so many topics, and then you try to decide, you know, which one is the one for this particular week. So, you know, I'll pray on it and see which one touched my spirit. And this week our topic is on things you do not want to pass on to your daughters. And this is really geared toward the mothers. The topic is things you do not want to pass on to your daughter. And, of course, I thank everybody. The switchboard is just lit up. I am so excited. God is so good. Do you have something that you want to say to your mother or to your daughter? Join in with us today. Call your friends, tell them to listen. It's a very simple process, and I like that because you don't have to get on the computer to listen. You can simply dial 347-539-5078 and listen on your phone. Now, most people have a cell phone. You know, we remember the days when people didn't have phones in their homes, let alone a cell phone, and even the children have cell phones, so there's no excuse not to listen to the program, except it's not one of your choices. But 347-539-5078, and you can simply listen to the conversation and hopefully receive something that will touch your spirit that can improve your relationship with your mother or daughter, or something you can share with another mother or daughter. And if you decide that you want to share something, then you can simply click 1 on your phone to participate. We'd love to hear your story. I'm sure whatever you have to say is going to be a blessing to someone else. So let me tell you, I am your host. I am Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I am a clinical psychologist, and I specialize in mother and daughter relationships. I was chosen to do this, and it took me a while to really accept the assignment because I thought I wanted to do some other things, but God wanted me to minister to mothers and daughters. And I have been doing this since 1999. It has been an exciting experience, really make you get close to God. The road has been up, down, and around and about, so you know what I'm talking about. So sit back, relax, get a cup of coffee, juice, whatever you want to do, and listen as we talk about things you do not want to pass on to your daughters. And I want to thank all the mothers and daughters in the listening audience that are here today and the ones that have been so supportive, and you know who you are, for the last few weeks. I really, really appreciate it. It makes me feel good. It lets me know that I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. But before we do that, I want to tell you a little bit about the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center, which is located in Hollywood, Florida. and tell you a little bit about what's coming up. The Mother and Daughter is having its fourth annual Mother and Daughter Conference and Retreat, which is featuring the Cinderella Ball. The Cinderella Ball is going to be so exciting, and we've all seen this. Most of us, I'm sure, have seen Cinderella, and you know how glamorous it is. So you want to dress up, bring your daughters, look pretty, and feel good, because when the clock strikes 12 that night, it's going to be something exciting happening. At that particular ball, we have what we call the Granny Awards. The Granny Awards are 12 special grandmothers that we recognize, that have given back to their families, have given to the communities, that have been the pillar of their community and family, but yet sometimes does not have an opportunity to receive any type of recognition. So if you know, we have about three spots that we need to fill, and we're looking for three special grannies to add to that. We only select 12, and those 12 represent a grandmother for each month. And with that, this year, we're adding the Diva Red Carpet Hall of Fame. This will be a time that we recognize corporate and our first ladies of the church. So keep that in mind. It's March the 11th through the 14th. I'm excited about it. We're also going to have workshops educating mothers and daughters on how to improve their relationship, how to improve their finances, how to improve their health, and accommodation. We still have suggestions coming in, and we'll have professionals that will share their expertise with you. The conference this year is going to be $195. That will include your tickets to the ball. In addition to that, I would love for you to go to our website at www.mddn.org. That's www.mddn.org. When you're on the website, go to our store, look at some of the products and the books that we're selling, because everything that you, anything that you purchase will be a donation to the nonprofit and help us do the work that we do to help mothers and daughters with workshops and social activities. There's a special thing about the Mother and Daughter Bonding Magazine, and I'm not going to take long, but I just want to get this out of the way. The Mother and Daughter Bonding Magazine will be out in March, and we're still looking for stories. But we also have a special piece in there. This issue is going to be connected with Jazz and the Garden. So if you want to have you and your mother and your pictures in this particular magazine, you know, you can send it to me at Dr. Bessie, that's DrBessie, at mdbn.org. And what we're going to do is put it in there along with 100 words about you and your mother. There is a $25 processing fee, but send it to us electronic. Send it to me at drbessiemdbn.org. If you need additional information, just send me a note, and I'll check it out. All righty. Thank you so very much for being patient. Thank you for listening. And I see here, oh, my goodness, lit up switchboard. Okay. Today we're going to have an honest conversation. The honest conversation is things you do not want to pass on to your daughters. Again, if you want to join the conversation, call us at 347-539-5078 to listen, and hit 1 to join in. So I'm going to try to get as many people on today as I possibly can, but keep in mind, the Mother and Daughter Blog Talk radio program is strictly about having an honest conversation. So if you're not going to have an honest conversation, then just listen. But if you have something to share and you're going to be honest, if you're honest, it's going to come through your spirit, and someone is going to feel it, and someone is going to be renewed and be healed by something that you have to share. Okay? I thank you. Now, let's look at some examples of things that you might not want to pass down to your daughters. Let's look at habits. You know, sometimes we have habits that we don't even like about our own self, our behavior, our practices, our routine that we may have, or actions or activities, even manners and conduct. Not talking about addictions or dependency. Those are some serious habits. And when you look back at your into your life and who you really are, look at those particular things, behavior, your practice, your routines. Look at your manner and your activities that you're involved in. Is there anything in those areas that you know I'm doing something that I do not want to pass on to my daughter? Now, if you know you are doing something that you don't want to pass on to your daughter, then your daughter recognizes it as well. We sometimes think that children don't recognize things that we do, but we are their example. They look to us to grow. They look to us to set the example. And when we see it in our children, we don't like it, but they learn from us. But the one thing that I want you to realize that it takes 21 days to form a habit. It also takes 21 days to start dissolving a habit. So if it's something that you're doing, if you just make up in your mind, I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing this for 21 days. I guarantee you, you will see a difference in your thought patterns. Your subconscious mind will shift. You no longer will process that in the conscious area of your mind. And in your subconscious mind, see, it does exactly what you say. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Because if you think it and believe it, then that's what's going to happen. And that's your subconscious mind. It will react to whatever you say. Now let's look at lifestyles. Lifestyle is a way of life, standard of living, everyday life. You know, what is your lifestyle like? What are you doing in your life that you don't want your daughter to see or to emulate? So if there's something in your lifestyle, change it. Lifestyles, a lifestyle is a way a person lives. A lifestyle is the characteristic bundle of behaviors that make sense to both others and oneself in a given time and place. You're talking about a social relationship. You know, how do you socialize with other people? Are you withdrawn or are you a socialite? What are you doing? Just check it out. I'm not here to judge, but just you look at yourself and say, what is it that I don't want my daughter to carry on? Because keep in mind, whatever you do and your daughter decides to pick up on those behavior, it's going to be passed on to your grandchildren. So I always tell mothers, keep in mind, go beyond your daughter and go to the next step. Go to your grandchildren, your great-grand, and your great-great-grand, and you tend to have a different perspective. Because you're responsible for at least four generations. So you have to put in order to help. Even if you're gone, you will live through your behaviors, but through your lifestyle, through your spirit, to your grandchildren, because they will pass that on. Now, let's look at fears and how fears in your life can cause harm to your children. Because fears in itself, you're talking about doubts, you're talking about worries, you're talking about uncertainties, you're talking about reservations and superstitions. Now, those are things that you don't want to pass down to your daughter, because fear is a negative energy, and it is considered to be the parent of cruelty. So fear is an emotion of alarm and agitation caused by expectations a realization of danger. But fear can also have a positive side by causing us to avoid danger. What fears are you possessing today that you do not want to pass on to your daughter? And then the last thing is that maybe there is one thing that you don't have that you would like to pass on to your daughter. And when I talked to my daughter about that, I spoke to her about this, it was like, you know, sometimes we don't have the education or we didn't have the opportunities, and we want our children to take it to the next level. And so we are constantly saying to them, I want you to go on. I want you to have an education. I may not have had an opportunity to do it, but I want you to take it to the next level. Because what you're doing, you're planting a seed for your grandchildren, your great-grands, and your great-great-grands. Because you may not be here, but you want them to be prepared to educate your grandchildren. Again, thank you for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm going to open up the lines. I've talked enough. Oh, it just, I didn't want to get carried away. But things you do not want to pass down to your daughter. Okay? The line is open. Anybody want to hit one, give me a call, and we'll talk. What is it out there that you do not want to pass to your daughters? Okay, I see 301, and I see 347, lots of 347s, and 843s, and 678s, and 240s. Click one, and I can turn you on. Good morning. Okay, I guess nobody wants to talk this morning, so I'll keep going. When I'm talking to mothers and we're talking about, a lot of times when I'm doing the mother and daughter workshops, and we have this piece where we bring the daughters up, and the daughters will say, I'll be right with you, 301. The daughters will say, I don't have an opportunity to say to my mother what I want to say. So I bring the daughters up, and the mothers sit back, and they can't say anything. They have to listen. And in that, they have an opportunity to say the things that they like or don't like about their mothers. And the mother has to listen to that in order to move to the next level. And out of that, they realize that they're doing things that the daughter don't like, but they didn't say anything because they're in a child role and decide, you know, I'm a child, so if I say something, she's going to spank me or she's going to punish me. But we open it up as an honest conversation, and you would be just amazed at the things that the children say to their mother. Okay? Good morning, 301.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking to?
This is Dr. G.
Hello, Dr. G. How you doing?
I am doing well this morning. I tell you, this is such an opportunity here. Also, I think this is really a good program, even if people don't call in the information that you are sharing. I just called to say that, you know, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to show our weaknesses or tell anyone about our weaknesses or things that we are concerned about. But one thing I would like not to pass down to my daughter is not feeling that she's not worthy to be the best that she can be or to climb the ladder of success as high as she wants to go. That's one thing that I would like not to pass down. That took some growing for me to get beyond always feeling that I was not worthy. So I keep giving my daughter, my grandson, positive affirmations, you know, that you can do it. You can be anything that you want to be. So that I do not feel unworthy or not being as worthy as others.
And that's a good one, too, because, you know, sometimes we pass that on in a subtle way and people are not conscious of it because of their fears and not being able to do what they want to do, go out into the world, speak in front of a crowd. You know, they figure, well, you know, I can't do it. And they talk about it so much, the children take it on, and they think, well, if Mama can't do it, I can't do it either.
Exactly.
And then they're stuck.
That is so true.
And it is important to pump our children up. And you know, we've talked about this a number of times, is that, you know, with even though we have grandsons, we have two daughters, but I always tell them, you know, you can do it. You can do it. It's all about you. Go ahead. You know, you got to make them think, you know, from babies, you're smart, you're intelligent. Just put your mind on it. Seek and find out what the Lord wants you to do, but you can do anything that you set your mind to through Christ. So, I commend you for that because that's a change, and that's a change that will pass down to your grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, stay on the line. You can hold on if you want to. And if you don't, you can click off. Hello? You want to stay on?
I say I will hold, yes.
Okay. All right. And then I'll call back on you occasionally. Thank you for calling in. It's 678.
Good
morning.
How are
you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm very well.
Great.
Oh, as always.
Great, great. Who am I speaking to?
This is Janice.
How you doing, Janice?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing good this morning. I am so blessed and so excited about this. Each time I just say, Lord, what an opportunity, and I just sit here and start going, you know what I mean? It's just an honest, good conversation. And today we're talking about things you do not want to pass on to your daughters. You want to share something about that topic?
Yes. One thing, as I look back, I would definitely not want to pass on to my daughter is low self-esteem. And I think a lot of time women and the whole, we have that because we're always trying to do the best for others and put 100% in anything that we do for other people. But when it comes to ourselves, then we'll take that, you know, take the second hand choice in things, and we look at it as, well, I'll do it later for myself, or I'll get this dress when I can afford it. But then if it's for someone else, we don't have a problem doing that. And believe it or not, it is a form of low self-esteem. I'm not saying that we should be selfish or we should be walking in a spirit of arrogance or pride, but we as women or as mothers, we need to always make sure that if we feel someone else deserves to have a $100 dress as a gift and we're willing to sacrifice to do that, and I'm just using a dress as an example, then we should feel just as good about doing it for ourselves. But we have a tendency, if we spend a little too much on ourselves, I know I did, I'll feel guilty about it. I'll say, well, you know, I could take this money and put it towards something else. So, you know, I would like that. I don't want to pass that on to her for as low self-esteem. And because with that low self-esteem, you end up being shy, you end up being scared, you're going to say the wrong thing, and you end up not being able to really communicate to people. And it's taken me some time to get past that hurdle. Even times in my present life now, I have a tendency to fight that, you know. Well, if I go somewhere, well, should I get this? No, should I spend this on myself? So I don't want to pass that on to her, and I would love to pass on to her to, you know, go for the best for her education, own her own business and not work for someone else in the area of her future.
That's a valid point too, because self-esteem can cripple you in a lot of ways. Not only how to do your finances, but it can cripple your subconscious mind, and it affects your relationships. It affects, you know, how far you think the ceiling is for you. You know, some people say, oh, you know, I can't go past the ceiling, but they don't know that if they look outside, there's a sky out there that's huge.
Right.
And you can do all those things. And mothers have that power to set that tone for her children. And if they see you, like I said earlier, they are going to repeat because you are the role model. A lot of times people are saying, you know, so-and-so is my role model, some star, someone they don't know, someone they just see on a play or on television, and just, you know, say, oh, that's, you know, and that's good if it's a positive thing. But keep in mind that child is with you 24 hours a day. And that child is going to pick up your habits. They pick up your energy, and you think They don't know, but they do. And then all of a sudden, you know, they pick up and they become, they turn, we turn into our mothers. That's the bottom line. So that's a good one. That is very, very good. Anybody else want to join in the conversation? Janice, I thank you for that. And you keep up with, and just know that you deserve everything. And you're grown, and I'm proud of you because you have, you've done something today that is going to do, going to break that bondage for you, because you're on a national radio program, and you have let it out to the world. So it's no longer that you are in prison; you have released yourself from it. So now, I'll tell you something that a lady is, she wrote a story, and this is going to be in the upcoming Mother and Daughter Bonding magazine. And I received it yesterday, and I was reading it, and she was talking about being a financial advisor, and all of her life, her daughter grew up, and she thought that maybe she was teaching her daughter the principles of finances. Now her daughter is a professional and found herself, her business is doing well, overwhelmed. She says, Mama, now I need you to teach me what I didn't get from you when I was in the house. And she says, I thought I taught her. But one of the little things that she has in there as a little, I guess, tip to a person for managing your finances was that get envelopes. You get an envelope that is, you write on there for gas, for food, for this and for that. And each envelope, you put a certain amount of money in it. And therefore, when you spend the money out of that envelope, you don't feel guilty because it has already been assigned to that. And I thought that was kind of cute. I said, that's kind of neat. Because in our minds, if we look at the total picture, we may say, oh, no, I might not can afford that. But if you put aside, say, okay, now I have $50 in here, and this $50 is just going to be for me to do whatever I want to do. When you take that $50 out of that envelope, you don't have to worry about it. You won't have the guilt. Because you had given it an assignment. Does that make sense?
That makes very good sense, yes.
And I thought that was very cute. And then that keeps that guilt out of you and gets you into a mode of being able to manage your finance in a little simple, cute way.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
And I think that's wonderful because I think what we have to do is start thinking about ourselves. You know, and I heard what Janice said, that she felt guilty buying for herself. But we have to look at ourselves as being worthy. I think that goes back to what I said earlier. In everything, we have to look at ourselves as being worthy, as the person that God has planted us here to be. We are queens, and we have to think of ourselves as queens. And, I think whenever you get your salary that should and you're outlining your budget, there should be so much money that you set aside for yourself monthly, bi-weekly, however you get paid, so that you can say, this is my piece here, and whatever I want to do with this piece, that's what I will do, you know, so that you can, you know, not sacrifice yourself. I know when our children are young and we are trying to ensure that they get the best, sometimes we do make these kinds of sacrifices, but then we still have to the understanding that, you know, we have to love ourselves, and when we love ourselves, then we are going to plan for ourselves also. We may not be able to take the $20, but we can take $10 and put it aside for us, you know, and work toward whatever we want to get, you know, so we know I heard Dr. B saying that, you know, you're budgeting, you know, you set your budget up. So we set that aside, you know, this is for just for me. You know, so that you can, you know, take care of yourself also and look pretty, and do the things that gonna make you feel pretty, or worthy, or wanted. You know,
That's great advice. And then it takes me back to what you shared with us some time ago, Janice. You know, being a single mom, you know, stretching that budget. See, now your children are grown. It's your time, and it's hard to figure out that it's your time. It's like some women may say to me, they've been large, and then when they lose weight, they can't see themselves any other way but being you know, large. And so you got to really condition your mind now. Okay, I got them on their way. Now, you know, this is what I'm going to do for me and feel good about it. And Dr. Magruder gave some good advice on that, too, as well. That is wonderful. I thank you for sharing. Anyone else out there? I see you out there. People are listening. I'm looking at the switchboard, and they're just sitting. I love that. Thank you for listening. Things you do not want to pass on to your daughter. I'll tell you the thing that I didn't want to pass on to my daughter, and this is when I was little. My mother has passed on, and I miss her. I'm an only child, and I had one daughter. There was a lot of things I didn't want to pass on, but I'll share one of these. And that was to spank my child. I thought I got to spank it every day. And I used to say to myself, when I have a child, I am not going to spank her the way that I'm getting spanked. I am not going to do this because I just feel like it was the most cruel thing in the world. You do something, there was no conversation. It was go out there and get a switch, and then you taking 10 years to walk out there to get a switch and come back, and you got to, it's like being, taking yourself to the hanging loop and say that you're going to hang yourself because, you know, that switch, you know you're going to get spanked with it, so you try to get one that will break easy or not going to be as thick or whatever. And I said, I don't want to do that with my child. And, of course, we say it, and then we still have to spank them sometimes, but I spent more time conversating with her. And I remember one time when she was about 3 years old, I was sleeping, I woke up, and Spirit said to me, go to the kitchen. I went in the kitchen. She pulled up a chair, climbed the chair, got on top of the stove to reach up to get the cornflakes. And I'm like, I don't know why we had it up there, but she was reaching and she was weaving and wobbling, and I got so scared I just grabbed her. And when I grabbed her, I spanked her. And just popped her maybe a couple times, and you would have thought I'd killed her. She went in the room, cried and cried and cried, and of course I started crying. And she came back out, and she says, Mama, she said, you know, you told me that I had an opinion and that you would always listen. I said, yes. Yeah. She said, well, I got something I want to say. And I said, okay. And she looked up at me, you know, and I ain't so tall. And she says, I don't understand why a big person like you want to beat up on a little person like me. Now, that took me all the way back. And I made a promise to myself, I did not want to spank her to be able to get her attention. I wanted to be able to talk to her. And from that day on, we made a pact that we were going to talk, and we talked, you know, I would take something away from her. You can't watch television, you can't do this, or you can't do that. But we made it a pact, and to this day, we still have a good conversation. And so that's something I did not want to pass on. The other thing I didn't want to pass on was, you know, living in a place and not being able to travel and see the world. Because to travel and see the world is to broaden your consciousness, to broaden you. It's your education outside of the classroom. So those are the things that I try to instill into her. And I take my grandchildren as many places as I possibly can, so that they, too, can experience that. Okay, I have caller 336 on the line. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. And who am I speaking to?
Speaking to Angela.
How you doing, Angela?
I'm doing great this morning, enjoying the show. I'm glad you cued me in. I just wanted to share one thing. I don't have a daughter, but I am a daughter. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure wasn't passed on, because it was passed on from my mother, from her mother, so three generations of women, and that is the fear of flying. My grandmother used to say all the time, you know, don't get on the plane, you know, I don't want to hear nothing about you on a plane, because, you know, planes fall all the time, and she would always say that, and anytime, you know, one of us was traveling, she wanted us to call, as soon as your feet hit the ground, you give me a call, you know, and so she just had this fear. I don't think, she's never been on a plane, so my mother developed the fear of flying, and then she conquered it in many ways, but still had the fear. And growing up, I was listening to all this, and I have fear of flying. And even though I had to fly and just kind of, you know, muster up the courage and get over the phobia, I just wanted to make sure that wasn't something that I passed on. But definitely fear is something that, you know, you don't want to pass on to your daughters, especially, you know, just fears that are unfounded and, you know, just kind of passed along from generation to generation. We have to make a decision to where it stops, you know, that it's going to stop with me.
Well, thank you. And since we have an honest conversation here, that is my daughter. That's Angela. I wanted to tell that story. I'm glad you told it. That was one of the things I did not want to pass down, and it was crippling to me because my mother said if God wanted you to fly, he would have given you wings. So when we were raised with metaphors like that, it really gives you a different perspective. So, you know, then you grow up thinking, okay, you have no one to talk to that have that relationship with flying, and you have the fear. I was paralyzed every time I got on the plane. I mean, I just simply could not breathe. And, yes, I did have that conversation with my mother, and for a while I did not fly. And my daughter said to me, I am not going to take care of this on. And one of the times when she was flying down to Florida to bring my grandson, they made a comment. Angie, what did they say to you?
I think they were just afraid. My youngest son was asking my oldest son. He said, you know, are you afraid? Is your stomach okay? Because my stomach feels funny. And the oldest son was like, yeah, you know, I feel a little scared too. And they both were just sitting there just kind of looking real scared to get on the plane. And, Mama, are we going to crash? And I just told him, I said, you know, it's as bright and as happy as I could be. And I was like, no, you know, y'all come on, we're going to have a good time, and it's going to be a nice ride, you're going to have fun. And, you know, I just had to really pep myself up, even though I think we just learned of a plane crash, and, you know, that kind of got them a little afraid, but I had to let them know that we're going to do this thing because I don't want them to grow up. We don't want the next generation to grow up being afraid to travel, you know, with all of the things going on in the world. They still, in order to be successful in life, in order to achieve in life, there are things you're going to have to do outside of your own community. And you're most likely going to have to take some flying, some other type of transportation to get there, and you can't be fearful. You know, the fear is not a feeling or something that God has given us, so we have to learn to take control over fear so that we can, you know, experience the success and the prosperity that we're supposed to. So I had to do it for them, and we had a great flight, and we laughed and, you know, enjoyed ourselves the whole time, and that was important. That was an important step for me and them. So that's what you got to do.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, too. Any comments out there, Dr. Magruder, Janice?
I think it's wonderful to face your fears, you know. That's wonderful. Because, as you said, you don't want to pass those fears down. You know, keep that curse going. So I was sitting here thinking, in our family, you know, there's been a lot of diabetes, you know, and I used to be real fearful of that, you know, that, you know, I don't want to pass that down to my children. And I said, well, I'm not going to pass it down. I said, Lord, I prayed about that. I said, now we're going to curse this demon here. for the root, you know what I mean? This is going to continue in our family. But not only did you have to curse it, but then you have to do something, you know?
Right,
and
right.
You have to start being good to your body and watching what goes in your body, you know? And that was one fear I had, you know, early on, that, you know, this is one of those inherited diseases, illnesses, and you passed it on from generation to generation. And I said, devil is a liar. If not any further, this goes out here, you know.
And as mothers, we have to take things to the Lord because we have a right to cover our children.
Exactly.
And that was a great way to do it. You know, you can do that. You have the power to say, no, this is it. It's going to stop. The end of it.
Exactly.
Okay, I see 347, two of you there. Let's see here. We're going to go 393. Hold on. Let's see. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking to?
Yes, you're speaking to Tiny from New York City.
How you doing, Tiny?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm enjoying your show. I've been
Thank
listening
you.
For a few weeks now, and I'm enjoying my cousins that spoke, Janice,
uh-huh.
so far. And I'm don't have a daughter, but I am a daughter. And,
yes, right.
Yeah, one of the things, my mother was the first Black that graduated from South Carolina college.
Uh-huh.
And she moved to New York, and she procrastinated a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I wouldn't want to pass on, procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always
mm-hmm.
say procrastination is the assassin of motivation. You know,
oh.
because my mother, yeah, she moved to New York, and she was a teacher. And she
mm-hmm.
always said that, you know, I would raise my kids and, you know, I would teach in New York, but she never got a chance. God bless her dead. She's deceased now, you know. But she passed it on to me because I, you know, procrastinate a lot. I went to law school for one semester.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every year I said, oh, I'm going back, I'm going back, I'm going back, you know.
mm-hmm.
And I've never gone back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one good thing, you know, not to pass on. You know, what you can do today. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'll go back to school 10 years later. I'll go back 5 years later. You know, when you have a brainstorm or a good idea, it's good to act on it, you know,
right.
immediately. You know, if you want to change a job, you know, I want to apply for a new position or
mm-hmm.
I want to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then people always put it off. Oh, well, I'll do it 10 years later. I'll do it 5 years later. And sometimes you never have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so
that's true.
That's what I wanted to speak on. I used to give lectures at universities, and I used to tell the students, you know,
mm-hmm.
procrastination is really, you know, assassination.
And
so
it's a trick of the devil, too, because if he knows that you're not going to agree with him, if the devil tried to approach you with an issue and he says, oh, no, now she's not going to agree with me on that. She knows better. So now how can I go around, as my mother said, the back door to get her to do what I wanted to do? So then
yes.
he uses procrastination because it's
yes.
going to stall you and it still
yes.
gets you to agree in a roundabout way.
Yes.
So what I would say to you is that from what I'm hearing,
yes.
it sounds like you're still able. It sounds like you
yes.
still have the will. You need to go back and get that law degree.
Okay.
You need to go back, take one class. And I'll tell you that because it took me 17 years to get
okay.
to a PhD.
Okay.
I started out taking classes, working, raising a family at night. I didn't go to college during the day, and I was 12 years out of school.
Okay.
But when I made up my mind, I said, time is going to pass anyway, and I'm going to sign up for a class. And I signed up at Forsyth Technical College, and I started off taking basic English because I was counting money for so long, I had to figure out how to write again. So I had all the phobias about being the oldest person in the class, what if this and what if that, but I made up my mind that I was going to change my life, and I was tired of always being passed over from promotions because I didn't have a college education. I had a high school degree, and most people thought I was well-educated because of the way I carried myself, but when it
right.
got down to the brass tacks of actually talking to that person about that next promotion, that was the thing that was not opening the door for me. And so I decided that was it. And so you just keep going. And when I hear from you again, I want to hear that you said, I called, I'm going to take a class.
Okay.
Because what you've done is that you have opened the door from the prison. You had yourself locked in on what your mother had done, and you're using that as an excuse. So stop it. Today is it. Do it.
Okay.
Just
thank
do
you.
It.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Is that fair enough?
Yes. Fair enough.
Okay. Because you got law in you. What did God call you for? Maybe he called you to the Supreme Court. You don't know. There's something
right.
in you. And you
yes.
know it wants to come out.
That's true. And I always tell people, I always say that I'm a therapist unofficially, you know, because a lot of people call me for advice. You know, I'm another
right.
Dr. Ruth here in New York City. You know,
yes.
so I always use the expression, being that I'm not licensed, I said I'm a therapist unofficially, you know. And
hey.
I have to stop that. I have to go ahead and
get the license, get
yes.
to working on it. See, God is showing you now. He's giving you your practicum.
Okay.
You're doing your practice. So now, when you get the papers, you're ready to go. You already
oh.
done didn't work.
Oh.
Huh?
Okay.
Hey.
That sounds good. Okay.
Yes. As long as
that
you live and breathe. Yeah. As long as you call me up, I'm going to motivate you all during the way. You tell me, we'll talk on it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. All right. Now, that was good. All righty. Now, 347-952. Let's say... Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. And who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Cecilia.
Okay. Hi, Cecilia. How you doing?
I'm doing great. That was my sister that you were speaking to before. And I just praise
oh, okay.
God, and I just thank you for that conversation because she really needed it. And I just thank you, and I hope she do something with that because my sister is very intelligent, and she can do anything if she put her mind to it.
Uh-huh. Oh, she's committed
what,
now. She's committed.
Yes, and what I wanted to comment on before, because I can go on that, was about my cousin Janice when she was talking about low self-esteem. And like what you were saying, it could cripple you in other relationships, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to pass on that fear of low self-esteem to my daughter because
mm-hmm.
My daughter saw me with low self-esteem. I didn't have a father when I came up, and I was depressed, and I was just looking for love, you know, in all the wrong places. And then once I had a relationship with my husband, my low self-esteem was so bad, I just took all type of abuse from him and stuff like that. And I do not want to pass that on to my daughter, and I am going to work to change that. But what
mm-hmm.
I do want to pass on to my daughter, and I just pray that God give me a chance, is salvation, to put
Amen.
God first, and everything would follow. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want to pass that on to my child. And I also want to pass on to her how to manage her money, financial, her credit, and stuff like that, because I had a lot of problems with that when, you know, and that's what I'm doing right now. But I thank you so much for this show and this radio talk show, and it's really a blessing. And I thank God for putting it on your heart to do it. And I'm looking forward to building a relationship with my child. I'm looking forward to coming to that conference that you're having in March. I'm praying on it, and I know God will make it work. And I just hope my daughter comes, and we can bond together again. Because it was a big rip in our relationship, and I'm trying to build on it, and I'm praying it, and I'm putting it into God's hands, and I know he will help me with it. Thank
oh,
you.
It's going to work, hon. It is. Once you put it in the Lord's hand, and I think everybody that's on this radio program today will agree, we're going to pray, and we're going to agree with you that you rebond with your daughter. It's going to happen.
Amen.
And we're going to get her to the conference,
Amen.
And it's going to be a reunion for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
So be a reunion.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you. That's so because what I'm hearing here is like what kind of came to me in a way was domestic violence. And I was speaking to Angela because it is a mother and daughter bonding radio program. So I consult with her and we talk about, you know, what the Lord has placed on my heart. And she said, well, you know, that might be a little harsh and all that, but see how the Lord will bring it back around? Because when you're talking about violence, I wanted to bring it out because mothers, a lot of times, you know, you wonder why your daughters are acting out. They either date someone, bring in different people into the home, or allowing someone to abuse them. The daughters see you crying. And then they get angry with you because they think, okay, you allow this to happen, it affects them, sometimes they get abused, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. And that's a major thing, that when you're talking about your lifestyle, you're talking about, you know, habits that you have, is to look at how is this affecting my daughter, because that daughter has to raise another family, and she can only take what you give her. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to anoint this relationship between the two of you, because regardless of what happened, she needs you and you need her. Because otherwise you can't function to the best of your ability. Anyone else have any comments on that?
I would like to comment, and this is Janice. Me and my daughter, I have, as I stated before, I have two sons and one daughter. And me and my daughter, we had some challenges, some very bad challenges when she turned about 16 years old. And at that time, I concentrated more on my sons because there was no father figure in the house, so my focus was keeping them around positive men, not realizing that my daughter needed positive men in her life as well, and I tried to fulfill that role. And so when she was in about 10th grade, I had a real challenge with rebellion, even through all the way through high school. But even now, she has moved out. And me and her are we're beginning to form a better relationship. We still have our challenges, but it all stems back, as you said, from, you know, having an abusive relationship, because I was in an abusive relationship with my husband, and I just took my kids. My twins were 6 months old, and my daughter was just two, and I just took my kids and I left, and I stayed in a shelter, and I just trust God. And it really stems from that, because a lot of times I would be in my room crying, and they would hear me, not knowing how I was going to make it from one day to the next. But you have to stay encouraged, Cecilia. You have to, the key is just praying and saying no to the enemy, standing on the word of God, and letting the devil know that you're not going to have my child. I'm walking by faith, and I'm going to keep my eyes on God, because the enemy is going to show you anything that he can to make you think that you and your daughter will not have a relationship. But then no matter what he shows you, you got to go back to the word of God and say, Lord, you said, you got to do just like Jesus did when he was on the mountain and when the enemy came to tempt him. Jesus kept coming back with the word. So you have to just stay encouraged no matter what it looks like. Always let your daughter know that you're there for her. And that's what I did. I didn't back down when she was wrong, but I still covered her in prayer, and I still let her know that I was there when she needed me.
All right. Very good. Anyone else got anything to say on that? Wow, this is so exciting. Can you all believe we only have 6 minutes? That's a quick hour, isn't it?
Yes,
it is.
Things that you do not want to pass on to your daughters. You know, being a mother is it's a difficult job. It's not an easy job, because there are no books, there are no rules, there's not even a mother and daughter story in the Bible. So we don't have anything that we can go to that's specifically designed and tailored to a mother and daughter issue. Now, why there's not one in the Bible, I don't know. But mothers have an innate feeling, spirit, and somehow we just know what to do. You know, even having a child, everybody's going to the hospital now. They're having the birth of the child in the hospital. But think about it. Years ago, what? The child was going to be born. The child was born anyway. So it is a thing that God has put inside of us to be nurturers to our offspring. and to use that intuition that we have to make decisions. And sometimes when, when I had a workshop and I was talking to parents, the mothers and their daughters, and I said, you know, to the daughters, mothers have a responsibility to help you get to a certain point in your life. Now, God made your mother a certain amount of years older than you. I'm 21 and a half years older than Angie. So there's no way she's going to catch up those 21 and a half years. So that 21 and a half years that I have traveled ahead of her, I have had experiences. I have had ups and downs. I have hit the rough side of the mountain. But all of that was to prepare me so when she started coming down that road, I could say to her, honey, you do not want to go this way. Because if you go this way, you're going to experience this, this, and this. Now, because we all have free will, she has the choice to decide if she want to listen to me or she want to take the left and go to the rough side of the mountain. And sometimes you got to let them go and you just got to pray. And then you got to say, Lord, I'm going to keep going. And you keep telling them, if you get back on this road, it's going to be a smooth sailing for you. It's going to be much better. And just pray that they not only hear the words, that they understand. Because words are words. And words are very powerful. In the beginning was the word, and words create. But if you don't get an understanding, you have just heard some words. So you got to make sure that your daughter get the understanding. And how do you do that? You've got to have an honest conversation. Don't try to be slick. Don't try to act as if they don't know what's going on. They know. Even the smallest child, if they're 3 months old, and you try to feed that child peas, and you say, come on, honey, eat your peas with mommy, and the child is saying, can't talk. So she says, no, shakes her head. Come on, honey, no. And you force it in her mouth, she spits it right back in your face. Now, what can you do? I tell mothers, you have no control over your children once they come out of you. You have all the control inside, but once they are born, trust me, but what you do have is you have to build a relationship of respect so that that child, when you speak, they understand and they move accordingly, and you train them in the way that the Lord wants them to go. But you can't use that, I'm your mother, you're my daughter, and you must do. Because then that's going to throw them away because the older they get, they realize, I have a will. That's why we have so many problems with our daughters when they hit 12 or 13. They start listening. They see other young people doing things. Oh, she can't really do anything to me. And now that we have the laws that they can do whatever they want and they can't be spanked, a long time ago, we were fearful of our mother because we knew if we didn't do a certain thing, it was like your life was going to end. So we had that kind of fear. So an honest conversation is your only key in prayer. That's it. Any last comments? We got 1 minute.
This is Sonia, I just want to thank you so much for this show. It helped me so much today. Helped me get in tune with myself and how to better have a relationship with my daughter, my sisters, my cousin. I just thank you so much.
Oh, I thank you. I thank God that he brought us all together. And there's so many people out there, and I can see your numbers coming all the way from Texas, and I see New York, Washington. I see Atlanta. I see South Carolina, just Maryland. I see people everywhere. They're on the board, so don't think we're talking to ourselves. I'm looking at them, and I appreciate you, and you don't have to always join in. So I just wanted to let you know that I recognize that you are there and that you are supporting us and that you are hearing something that hopefully that will touch your heart and your spirit and that you will pass it on to someone else and invite them to come next week at 10 o'clock. Go to our website, www.mdbn.org, and look at what we have. Look at the program. Consider coming to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Conference in March the 11th through the 14th. You know, do something special. Do something different. You know, make this year different from last year. Start off with rebonding with your daughter, strengthening the bond with your daughter, and then pass that on to your son. We're not leaving those sons out because, Lord knows, we have grandsons. Have a great day. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you next Saturday.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm for you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.